Okay, great. So as people continue to hop onto the phone, we are, as I had said before, those of you who are on the phone and online, we're having some issues with slides. So as Stacy starts talking, I'm going to work on that and see if we can get those slides up for you to look at. To start, though, I think some people on this phone might be new to Women's Voices for the Earth, and I just wanted to give a brief background on our work. And actually, first, I can't believe I didn't do this yet. I am so honored to introduce Stacy Malgin, who is our guest expert on this Body and Soul webinar. We are so happy to have her tonight as our guest expert. Stacy is one of our fellow co-founders with the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics, which you'll hear about a lot this evening. And she is the author of Not Just a Pretty Face, which is a Women's Voices for the Earth book selection. And Stacy is generously donating a portion of book sales to Weave's work. So there's a link to purchase her book on our website that you guys can all check out after this. So I'm excited to have Stacy on tonight. I know she has so much good stuff to talk about. And just briefly, before I turn it over to her and work on getting these slides uploaded, just to give you a background on Women's Voices for the Earth, we are a national organization. We are a co-founder of the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics, which is why we're so fortunate to work with Stacy. And we work on eliminating toxic chemicals that harm women's health. And we do that in three ways. The first thing we do is to educate people about the issue of toxic chemicals in products and how they can reduce their personal exposure. Because if you actually know what toxic chemicals are hiding out in your products, you can start thinking about how to avoid them. The second thing we do is pressure and work with companies to make safer products. And we can do this because as consumers, companies will listen to us. If we refuse to buy their products because they aren't safe, companies will reformulate to make the kinds of products that consumers want to buy. So we have tons of consumer power, and we are really the ones that drive companies to make safer products. And the third way that Women's Voices for the Earth works on fixing this problem is by advocating for government policies that ensure that chemicals are evaluated for safety before they're placed in products that we use every day, which seems like a no-brainer, but unfortunately just isn't happening right now. So with that, I would like to turn it over to Stacy to get into the meat of this presentation, 5 tips for finding safe and healthy products, giving the beauty industry a makeover, and I am going to work on getting those slides uploaded.
Thank you so much, Cassidy, and to everyone. And I really want to say thank you to Women's Voices for the Earth. Your work is amazing, and it's so inspiring. And also thank you to all my friends and colleagues at the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics. I'm so proud of the work that we've done together. And I want to give a shout-out, too, to the students in the Environmental Health and Nursing class at the University of Hartford who are on the call today and were assigned this webinar as homework. I love that. And so while Cassidy's working on the slides, and if we don't get the slides, that's totally fine, because really I just want to have a conversation today. And, you know, talking about things, you can just kind of imagine what I'm saying, because I think we've all had the personal experience of using personal care products, learning about what's in them. And I really want to think about how can we shift the market to safer alternatives and the power that we have to do that. And I wanted to just kind of start out by saying, acknowledging that we are living in such crazy, amazing, unprecedented times. And I've been really feeling that lately. I heard something the other day on Jon Stewart, so it must be true, but I think it's really cool to think about, that a teenager in Africa today with a smartphone has access to more information than the President of the United States had just 15 years ago. And that is just so amazing to think about how things are changing so fast. And just a reminder about how we have access to such an incredible amount of information, and I think also opportunities for women to use their tremendous power to shift the market. And women really have that power because we're buying 85% of consumer products. So what we do, the companies are paying attention to, and it really matters. So I want to frame my whole talk today with that thought about opportunity, because while it can be challenging to hear some of the information that we'll be talking about today, I think, as I was saying, that's an exciting time when we can actually see evidence that our choices are making a difference, shifting the market in a positive direction. And so I want to thank each and every single one of you for taking the time to join us today, and for being part of this effort to figure out together how we can find the safest products for ourselves and our families, and, as I like to say, how we can give the beauty industry a makeover. So with that, I'll just talk a little bit about my background. If you've heard me talk before, you've probably heard this story. But I had a long love affair with cosmetics in my life, and I grew up in the 80s. I spent lots of time in the Osco drug cosmetics aisle, searching for those perfect products that would magically transform me into the confident, lovable version of myself. I was obsessed with Seventeen magazine, and I used tons of products, all kinds of hair products, face creams, all sorts of skin regime products, and it was all topped off with a huge cloud of Aquanet Extra Super Hold hairspray. I was actually looking for a picture of myself. I didn't end up putting it in the PowerPoint, but it was some very big, perfectly coiffed hair with a perm and lots of spray, and I would run away from the cloud and then, you know, come back to my mirror. Many of you have probably had that experience. I never thought in those days what was in the products that I was putting on my body. Nobody that I knew talked about those issues at all back then. And it wasn't until many years later. I worked for many years as a reporter, and then about 12 years ago, I had the great fortune to work with an environmental group called Healthcare Without Harm, and I worked alongside some of the leading advocates, researchers, scientists in the field of environmental health who were really looking at what are chemicals in the environment, in consumer products, doing to our health and our bodies. And through that, we eventually decided to look at cosmetics because these products that we're putting on our faces, putting in our hair, putting in the bathtubs with our children are a big source of everyday chemical exposure. And we decided to do research to look at, you know, what's in these products, how safe are the ingredients, and commenced to do a huge amount of research really in two areas. And we co-founded the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics with Women's Voices for the Earth, Breast Cancer Fund, many other environmental groups. And we started to do research. We sent over the years hundreds of products to labs to have them tested for chemicals. And so we have that information, looking for chemicals that aren't listed on labels. We've looked at baby products, fragrance, lipstick, a whole range of products. And all those studies are posted on our website, safecosmetics.org. The second category of research was that our partners at Environmental Working Group built Skin Deep, which is the world's largest database of chemicals and cosmetics. It now has over 60,000 products, and those products are, it lists all the ingredients that are on labels, and then that's analyzed with the top government and academic databases of chemical hazards. They have about 60 databases in Skin Deep, and actually the process of building Skin Deep was amazing, fascinating, and truly an example of the power of women, because it was a wonderful woman named Jane Houlihan who conceived of that project and built it, and I have a whole chapter in my book, Not Just a Pretty Face, about how she did that. What we have now from that is a huge amount of data never before available about what's in cosmetic products and how toxic the ingredients are. Skin Deep ranks products from 0 to 10, with 10 being the most toxic. And you can find the database at safecosmetics.org/skindeep. And I see we still don't have the PowerPoint up, but that's okay. We're not going to worry about that, because I'll tell you that I will also be posting the slides with all this information about what I'm saying. We can put that on the Women's Voices for the Earth website and also on my blog at notjustapprettyface.org. So if you go to notjustapprettyface.org tonight, you can get all the slides and all this information. So through the research of the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics, testing hundreds of products, through Skin Deep, analyzing 60,000 more, it's up to 80,000 products now, we have for the first time a bird's eye view over the cosmetics industry to see what companies are doing, what chemicals they're using, and how safe products are. And unfortunately, the picture is not too pretty. The big find of Skin Deep in our research was that most personal care products, and we're talking about everything from deodorants, lotion, toothpastes, colognes, shaving cream, even baby shampoos commonly contain chemicals that are linked to cancer, that can disrupt hormones, chemicals that are toxic to the skin, linked to asthma, allergies, and other health problems that have been increasing quite dramatically over the past many decades since chemicals have become so ubiquitous in our lives. So that's the big picture. Lots of products have problematic chemicals. And in fact, when Skin Deep was built, we really wanted to know which is the worst company, you know, who's doing it the worst. So we did all this analyzing of the data in the database, and we found that there really was no worst. The answer to that question was that everybody, many of the big companies, are using very similar chemicals across all their products. And that's true of the high-end products, Lancome, Clinique, the most expensive products, all the way down to the drugstore brands, that they're using very similar formulations. In many cases, they're decades old. The same kinds of preservative systems, the same kinds of surfactants that make products bubbly. There haven't been, while we think of the beauty industry as being very innovative, the innovation has been mostly in packaging and marketing and finding new ways to sell us products. It hasn't been in the chemicals that they're using. So that's what we're trying to push on and change, because what we do know also through our research, and the very good news, is that it's possible to make safer products in virtually every product category. There are a couple of exceptions, but companies are already making great safe products that work just as well, if not better, than conventional brands without the toxic chemicals. And even the biggest companies are doing that with their one or two green brands, but unfortunately they continue to use the old formulations, many of which contain toxic chemicals, across the board for most of their products. So I'm going to give you a few ugly side of the beauty industry stories, but before I do that, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the science. And the companies have said, and we've had many interactions with the biggest companies over the years, and I tell many of those stories in my book. But the interactions have tended to be the same. The companies don't disagree that some of the chemicals they're using are toxic. They don't disagree that we've found toxic chemicals in their products. But what they say is, well, it's just low levels. It's just a little bit of carcinogen in the baby shampoo, just a little bit of this or that hormone-disrupting chemical or what have you in my products. So we hear a lot about this low doses are safe argument of the companies. So I wanted to speak to that. And a few things that, from our perspective, and when you really look at the big picture, first of all, the low doses are adding up. When I looked for the book, I went back and I actually looked up all the products that I had been using as a teenager, all those, you know, CoverGirl products and the Aquanet and the Love's Baby Soft, all sorts of things, and added them up, looked them up in Skin Deep, and I was really surprised to discover that I had been exposing myself to 230 chemicals a day. That's just what was on the labels, including many carcinogens, at least 17 chemicals linked to cancer, dozens of hormone-disrupting chemicals, many, many chemicals that were toxic to the skin. So all these toxins are adding up, daily exposures that I was applying to my skin or breathing in. And in some ways that chemicals can get into our bodies include inhalation, in the case of the hairspray cloud, or absorption with skin creams, or if we put something on our lips. So we know that low doses are adding up. We also know from recent science that even very low doses, tiny doses of chemicals, can interfere with hormones and disrupt normal development. So we're learning a lot more about hormone disruptors, and unfortunately cosmetics are a major source. We know that fragrances contain multiple hormone disruptors. Lots of products contain parabens, phthalates, triclosan. These are just a few examples of chemicals that can disrupt our hormone systems, which can have long-term health effects, especially when those exposures are occurring during important developmental times, young children, teenagers, or, of course, when babies are developing in the womb. so we're really concerned about exposures to pregnant women. We also know that mixtures of chemicals can have enhanced toxicity, so that when you add toxins together, the effects can be multiplied. So we're learning a lot more about the concerns of low-dose chemical exposures, and we also know from recent research that chemicals are ending up where they were never intended to be, where the people who made them never thought of them being, and that is inside our bodies. So we know from, and I have dramatic stories in my book of some of the first people who got their so-called body burden tests done, and that is just taking blood and urine, in some cases breast milk, and analyzing it for a wide range of industrial chemicals. And those studies are finding that people are contaminated with hundreds of synthetic chemicals that are known to be toxic. And one recent study done particularly on cosmetics, this was done by Environmental Working Group. They looked at urine samples from 20 teenage girls aged 14 to 19. They looked specifically for cosmetic chemicals, and they found, on average, 13 hormone-disrupting chemicals in the urine of each girl.
This is Cassidy. I think I may have found a way. Can you look on your ReadyTalk window? Do you see those slides?
I see them.
Okay, so I think that you should be able to move them. If not, do you want to let me know what slide you're on?
Okay. That's great. A little applause for Cassidy. Yay. I don't think I can move them, though. So I am, if you want to just advance to...
Yeah, what site are you on?
I am on Teen Girls Body Burden of Hormone-Altering Chemicals. And so the study on teens was, you know, it looked specifically, there we go.
Right.
At teen girls, specifically at cosmetics. So those were some of the chemicals: phthalates found in fragrance, triclosan, that's an antibacterial agent, parabens, and lots of products used as a preservative. Those are chemicals that can act like estrogen, and musks found in fragrance. And they also found that the teens, like myself when I was a teen, tended to be using the most products, so 17 products on average for teen girls. And interestingly, boys are also now in this category of using tons of products when they're young. There was a recent New York Times story about boys that were using about 17 products a day, too. So the Axe and, you know, all these heavy body sprays and things that companies are really targeting younger and younger kids with these products that we know contain hormone-disrupting chemicals. So... those are some of the big picture problems from a scientific perspective. The low doses are adding up. They're definitely a concern from a health perspective, according to recent science. We know that chemicals are getting inside our bodies, that teens are using the most cosmetic products. And we also know, and this to me was one of the things that was, I would say, the biggest wake-up call in my many years of looking at scientific studies and figuring out what we know now about chemical exposures. There was a study done in 2006 by Environmental Working Group that looked at umbilical cord blood of newborn infants and analyzed it for industrial chemicals. And they found an average of 200 synthetic chemicals in every single baby. And those are chemicals that mostly didn't exist when my own grandmother was born. So this is really a new evolutionary challenge. And when we see this picture that babies are being born into the world pre-polluted with industrial chemicals, isn't it time to say, how can we do things differently? How can we do things differently? And I think that's the question that so many of us are asking, and why so many of you are on the phone, I know. So I really want to honor that. We're in a time of really needing to figure out how we can make the big changes that we need to make so that we can create an economy that's healthy for people and the planet, and that allows babies to be born with every advantage possible and without toxic chemicals in their bodies. So that's the theme, the goal, the energy with which the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics got out into the world and started to really pressure the beauty industry to make changes. And I want to talk about now just three ugly side of the beauty industry stories to give you some of the examples of the particular concerns we've had and the changes that we've been able to make with companies. So next slide. What's going on with chemicals in baby shampoo? Well, that's a question that we have really looked at with a lot of concern at the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics. What's in baby shampoos? And we tested dozens of top-selling bubble baths, baby shampoos a few years ago. And as you'll see on the next slide, we found that many of them contained not just one, but two carcinogens, two known carcinogens, formaldehyde and 1,4-dioxane. And we found those chemicals in many brands that may be surprising, Sesame Street, Grins and Giggles, Huggies, Pampers, L'Oreal, CVS, all the brands that you see listed here. And even the iconic Johnson's Baby Shampoo did contain both formaldehyde and 1,4-dioxane. And I have here a list of the ingredients in Johnson's Baby Shampoo, and in the yellow highlighted underline, you can see some of the chemicals that we were concerned about, PEG-80, sodium triiodesulfate, sulfate, and sodium lauryl-13, are all connected to 1,4-dioxane. Those chemicals are known to create a carcinogenic byproduct. And quaternium-15 there in the last line is the preservative in the product, and that releases formaldehyde. So while those words, 1,4-dioxane and formaldehyde, aren't on the label, it's well known that they would be in this product if you know what chemicals are associated with them. So we went through the top baby products and looked for those chemicals and then confirmed at a lab that these products were, in fact, contaminated with the two carcinogens. Now, this was a few years ago. We did, and many of you on the call were probably involved in this project, because people were quite upset and disturbed about Johnson's Baby Shampoo in particular, because it has a reputation of being the purest and the best, and moms are getting it in the hospital at the most powerful moment of their lives when babies are born. So we went to Johnson & Johnson. We said that we were concerned about this. We went with the Cosmetics Campaign, the American Nurses Association, and other groups, had a couple of years of conversations with them, and they were listening but not changing the products. Then we decided to go out and check Johnson's Baby Shampoo in countries around the world, and we bought 13 samples in 13 different countries and found that they were using formaldehyde chemicals in the United States and some other countries, but not in most of the countries, not in Europe, not in South Africa, and many other countries. And I think the reason for that is the better laws in other countries have forced companies to look to safer chemicals. And that's the point that we need to get to in the United States, because if at this point it's, you know, the laws on the books for cosmetics are more than 70 years old, there are no required safety tests for chemicals in cosmetics, and it's legal to use nearly anything, even known carcinogens, in personal care products. So we did, though, through this analysis, have renewed conversations with Johnson & Johnson, in which they have since committed, and I think this is a huge victory, they've said they're taking carcinogens out of all their baby products worldwide, and then they've since said that they're going to be taking them out of adult products, too. So they're in the process of reformulating to get rid of the formaldehyde, to reduce the 1,4-dioxane and look for an alternative. They've also said they're taking out or not using triclosan, phthalates, parabens. So that's a huge step forward for a major company, and now I think the work left to do is to pressure other companies to get up to those standards. And, of course, many companies are already far surpassing those standards. But we need to get the big companies that most people are using their products up to this level of commitment to not be using known carcinogens in their products. So safecosmetics.org/toxic tub, you can find out more about that project. And the campaign will be doing an update soon, going back to recheck the rest of these products to see if they've made positive progress. So that's the story with carcinogens in baby shampoo. And I wanted to just say one other note about baby products. I got a note from a friend named Sophia who was promoting this webinar to her friends. And Sophia is a mom of two little kids. And she said in her note to her friends, I wanted to share it because I thought it's important information, and it's an experience I think that many of us have gone through. Sophia says, did you know that the cosmetics industry is self-regulated and they have a safety panel that is supposed to determine what is safe and what is not? But ironically, even when the panel says something is unsafe, the industry can disregard that. For example, the panel says that Destin diaper rash ointment contains ingredients that, quote, should not be used on infant skin or damaged skin. Can you imagine that? The most common diaper rash cream should not be used on irritated skin or on infants. I was reading about this at night, and I got up, took my sleeping baby's diaper off, and I was trying to wipe the Destin off him. I was given this ointment by somebody and used it, although I hadn't checked it for safety on skin deep. Now I check everything. So thank you to Sophia for sharing that experience and just pointing out that, you know, there's we need to look at everything. And again, the good news is that safer alternatives are available, but you have to do some research to find them. Okay, next ugly side of the beauty industry story in the next slide, what's going on with lead in lipstick? So many of you have probably heard about lead in lipstick, and that was recently in the news again because of a new study from UC Berkeley showing that they found not just lead but many other heavy metals in lipstick. So we did some testing at the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics and looked at lipsticks. This was in 2007. We did the first study that exposed the fact that many lipsticks contain lead. The FDA followed up on that study and actually found lead in 400 lipsticks that they looked at. And I'll have the link in my slides where you can look up those FDA results. It's pretty interesting. They did find that some companies had much, much more lead than others. And if you want to go to the next slide, Cassidy, I'll show some of the brands that we did find the highest levels of lead in. Unfortunately, some of the most popular ones, L'Oreal, CoverGirl, Revlon, were at the top of the list. And up at the top left of the slide, if you're looking at it, this Dior Addict product was had some of the higher levels of lead. And I thought that was interesting because – back one slide.
I'm so sorry. This application isn't really working.
That's okay.
I will figure it out here.
But I wanted to show them my because the Dior Addict lipstick there is kind of an iconic product that a lot of people know.
Is this the studio on, Stacey? I'm sorry. I'm not sure where you are.
Oh, I'm up on the lipsticks. And yeah, there you go.
There you
go. Dior Addict up there on the left. What I like about that product and wanted to point out, it's got such a beautiful package, right? It's like, it's almost like if you see it, I like to use it in my presentations. It's like a little lipstick, you know, sitting on a throne. And the lipstick part of that costs, I hear from formulators, about 15 cents to make. But the product costs $22. So you're paying for, you know, the packaging, the marketing, the mystique of the product, which unfortunately the companies are putting a lot more thought into the packaging and the advertising than they are into the product itself, because it contains some of the higher levels of lead. And I have here a quote from L'Oreal, their statement. They were the worst offenders in our tests, the FDA tests. They had consistently high levels of lead in their lipsticks, and their statement was, "We stand behind our products because they're in full compliance with FDA regulations." And unfortunately, there are no regulations limiting lead in lipstick. So that was really just a meaningless statement, and I think L'Oreal needs to be held accountable and hear from consumers about what are they doing about lead in lipstick. It's still a problem in the industry, and unfortunately, as we saw recently with the UC study Beyond Lead, they found multiple metals in lipsticks, and they're not disclosed, and the only way really to find them is to send products to a lab and have them tested. So we're pressuring the FDA and the industry to say you need to come up with some best practices and figure out how to get the lead out of lipstick. Because some companies are doing a much better job of making clean products. So safecosmetics.org/poisonkiss is somewhere you can go to check out more information about lead in lipstick. And on the next slide, or I will try that out, lovely photos of Hollywood stars. And the last ugly side of the beauty industry story I wanted to tell about is the Brazilian blowout. And this is really a story that gets to the deep problem of having no regulations in the United States. This was a product that was advertised as formaldehyde-free. It says here on it's the lovely ad that it's the only professional smoothing treatment that improves the health of the hair. So it was advertising itself as formaldehyde-free and, you know, good for your health, essentially. And what happened was people were getting sick when they were using it, and somebody finally tested it up in Oregon and found that the product contained up to 12% formaldehyde. That is a huge percentage of a known carcinogen. Formaldehyde was recently listed as a known human carcinogen. It's also a very potent allergen, and so that's why people were having acute reactions. We heard stories about hair falling out, about severe, like watery eyes or burning skin or things like that, or some of the reactions you might have from it. And, of course, we're very concerned about the workers working in salons who are exposed to some of the worst chemicals in cosmetics repeatedly all day, every day, and they tend to be women of childbearing age. So I think it's most important for those women that we really push these companies to clean up their act and get known toxins out of their products. Now, this Brazilian blowout, the state of California did go after that company, and they were able to do that because we passed a law in California in 2005 called the Safe Cosmetics Act that gave the state more authority than the federal government has over safe cosmetics. And so the Attorney General went after Brazilian blowout. They weren't able to get it off the market, unfortunately, because, again, it's not illegal to put these known carcinogens into products. But they were able to get warning labels on the products, and they were able to force the company to make some changes. So there is why it's so important that we change the laws. We can't just shop our way out of these problems, but we need to change the laws so that companies are at least getting rid of the worst chemicals and being, you know, at least putting warning labels on their products in the case of formaldehyde. And, of course, I like to say at this point, we're all made to feel like our hair should be straighter, our hair should be lighter, our skin should be lighter, our skin should be darker with spray-on tans, our lips should be plumper, and we're just not good enough the way we are, so we should all go out and buy toxic chemical products to make ourselves feel healthy and whole. And that's the ugly side of the beauty industry in a nutshell. These companies have a lot of power over the public space, over the way we feel about ourselves, and even, it turns out, over our health as they continue to use and expose us to toxic chemicals, even though safer alternatives are available. So that's the bad news and the ugly side. But the very good news and the beautiful side of this story is that we're the ones who have the power. We have the power because we get to decide which products we put on our body, which companies we allow into our homes, which companies we support with our money, and that's a huge amount of power. As I said earlier, women, and when I say we have the power. I mean women, and men, what you're doing is really important too, but women are, as I said before, buying 85% of the products of all types, and especially cosmetics, and the companies are really paying attention to what we're doing. And we are changing the market. We're moving them. We've seen it. Sales now of green, natural personal care products are growing faster than conventional sales. And here we have the slide I love to call our efforts a girl caught. Boycott means no, and girl caught means saying yes. So yes to creating the world that we want to live in through the choices that we make every day about what we buy. And this is a photo. It shows a bunch of products dumped on a lawn. We did a girl caught event in San Francisco, and we actually invited people to bring their toxic products that they didn't want anymore, and then we had an agreement with the San Francisco City Department of Hazardous Waste to come and pick them up. That was fun. We had tons of them. We couldn't believe how excited people were to come and dump their products. And then we had really good companies there to show their products. So that was a lovely event, the GirlCot, and you'll be hearing more about the GirlCot from me. It's a concept that I am working on because I really want to be in solution space. And so now I'm going to tell you some solutions, and I really want to talk about the power of women to change the world is my theme, and some specific powers that we have, which are also tips for finding safer products. But I like that bigger theme of the power to change the world. So the powers that we have, and first up is the power of purchasing and saying yes to companies that are doing it right and no to companies that are making toxic products. And for me, you know, that has really come boiled down to I'm not buying products anymore from any of the big companies that are advertising in the magazines and selling at the drugstores, because all of them are using toxic chemicals. None of them are doing the best job they can to make the safest products. So I'm looking for smaller companies, independently owned companies, local if possible. And Skin Deep is a great resource for seeing who's consistently doing it right. Look for products that score 0 to 2, for companies that fully disclose their ingredients. And you have to really look at the labels, not just the marketing claims, but look at the labels, what chemicals are in the products, choose products with fewer chemicals, no synthetic fragrance, and use fewer overall, especially on kids and when pregnant. So check out Skin Deep. Also hook up with the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics, safecosmetics.org, and join our listserv if you're not on it. Lots of important updates about new research and about what's happening with legislation. Which brings us to, next slide, the power of politics. There's a lot of important stuff happening in Washington, D.C. right now on chemicals. They're debating an update to the chemical laws right now. And the Safe Cosmetics Act was also reintroduced recently. That would ban known carcinogens and require companies to fully disclose their ingredients. And with both of these fights, with all of them, it's critical to get involved and make sure that we can still pass laws at the state level. That's one of the things that industry is trying to do away with, state laws like the California Safe Cosmetics Act that was so important in going after Brazilian blowout. We need to get laws in place that give us full information about what's in products and at least raise the floor for companies so they have to stop using known carcinogens and the worst chemicals out there. So that's what the Safe Cosmetics Act is about. And these are some of the wonderful groups that support it. Fran Drescher there in the corner has been a wonderful and amazing advocate lobbying on the Hill for this bill. But we need all of you to take action, and you can go to safecosmetics.org/takeaction to see a letter for your representative. And so please get involved in that. Check it out. See what you can do to help. And next up, a really important thing you can do is tell your friends about all of these tools and resources, about safecosmetics.org, about ewg.org/skindeep, about our bill, and our wonderful movie. This has its very own slide because I want all of you to, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's 8 minutes, The Story of Cosmetics with Annie Leonard. And you can find it at storyofcosmetics.org. It has over 1 million views, and it does a really good overview in a very entertaining way of telling you about the problem and the solution. So storyofcosmetics.org to tell your friends all about what we talked about here today. And the last thing I want to talk about and then tell a little story to close, and then I want to hear your questions. So we've got the power of purchasing, the power of politics, the power of knowing, and the power, most, I think this is the most important one, the power of you, the power that each of you have to go out in your community, stand up and be a leader, to tell people what's going on, give them the knowledge they need, and show them how to make the safest choices. The next slide, the power of you, is one of my favorite stories about somebody taking power. And this slide is if you are looking at it, a wonderful image of some bare-chested men in an ad that you've probably all seen if you've ever been in. I always ask, what is this an ad of, if I'm in the room with you, and I'm sure many of you would be raising your hands. It's an ad from Abercrombie & Fitch, the store. And if you walk in there, you'll see, you know, these images, wall-sized images of these, you know, manly men. Well, Abercrombie & Fitch also has a practice, besides the crazy ads, of spraying down their stores every 15 minutes with Fierce Cologne, which we tested, and it contained many toxic ingredients, many allergens, and also a chemical called diethyl phthalate, which is linked in a study by Harvard researchers to sperm damage. So the irony that a store that is marketing itself on images of male virility is actually spraying everywhere a chemical that may have the opposite effect on male reproductive health. It's just, I think, the epitome of crazy. But on the next slide, a positive story about this. A young girl named Emily that I met through our work. She works with a group called Teens Turning Green. And Emily very much reminded me of myself when I was young, sort of shy when I first met her, really didn't talk to, you know, didn't want to stand out in front of the crowd. That's her up in the left-hand corner of the slide, and you can see she's lost that shyness. There she is talking to a reporter, and she actually organized this protest in front of Abercrombie & Fitch in San Francisco. You got 20 teens to go marching into the store with their signs, protesting the toxic chemicals that are sprayed, you know, without the knowledge or consent of workers and of shoppers in that store. You could literally smell the cologne across the street is coming out of the store, is how strong it is. So the kids marched through the store. They got kicked out of the store eventually, and at the very end, the cops came. Three cop cars came, as if, you know, teens yelling about fragrance in Abercrombie & Fitch was a serious public hazard. Well, the scene ended up with a whole crowd of people from the store. The store kicked everyone out, even all their shoppers, locked the doors. And the teens were out on the sidewalks with their signs, and all the shoppers were standing around Emily, who was in the middle, looking up at this very tall police officer who was, you know, towering over her and lecturing down at her that she was going to get arrested if she went back in that store. She would be arresting for trespassing. And she just looked up at him and she said, "Trespassing? They're trespassing on me. They're trespassing on my right to breathe clean air, on my right to health. What are you going to do about that?" And the image of a teen girl just standing her ground, speaking her truth, to me, that's the energy that's going to change the world. And that's the hope for the future. And that's, so I want to call, you know, on the inner Emily and all of us to come forth and say, what can we do to speak the truth and demand the change so that we can have all the products we need and want, but they're safe and healthy. They don't pollute babies. They don't pollute our air. They don't hurt workers in salons. And that's what we're doing when we give the beauty industry a makeover. And so just lastly I'll say, and then I want to leave the last 15 minutes for questions and really hear from you. You can connect with us, safecosmetics.org, on Facebook, on Twitter, Safe Cosmetics, and also my blog, notjustaprettyface.org. And as Cassidy said earlier, proceeds from my book bought over the next 3 weeks on my website or on Women's Voices for the Earth website. So you go to womensvoices.org or notjustaprettyface.org, and we'll be giving a portion of those proceeds to Women's Voices for the Earth. And I really just want to put in a plug for supporting Women's Voices for the Earth, for donating if you can. They are doing amazing, wonderful, awesome work. It's so important. They're doing work on cleaning products, on organizing these webinars. We had 500 people sign up for this webinar. I'm so excited about that. So please do what you can to support financially Women's Voices for the Earth. And if you buy my book, and I think it's a fun, fast read for those of you who've read it, it's a good way to introduce the topic to teens, to young people, to people who like to read about disturbing information in entertaining ways. And there's a lot of good news in it, too. So buy the book, and you can help Women's Voices for the Earth. And thank you again to all of you for taking the time to be here tonight and for everything that you are doing to make the world a healthier place.
Thank you so much, Stacey. That was fantastic. Thank you. I'm sorry that I didn't do a better job on the slides. So what I would like to do is, I know that all of you who are on the phone are not necessarily online, and so we will try to navigate that. But with so many people on the phone, here's what I'm going to try to do. I am going to unmute all of your lines, and then what I'd like you to do, because I wish that your phone numbers actually had a name associated with them, but they don't, is that you can unmute your own line by pressing *6. So first what I'm going to do, I'm going to unmute all of your lines. You guys are going to remute your own lines by pushing *6 unless you have a question to ask. And we'll see if that works. One sec here.
The conference has been unmuted.
All right. Now you guys can hear what it sounds like when there's, you know, 97 people on the phone. So if you do not have a question, go ahead and push *6. If you do, I actually really love this question, Heather, that you just added in. Heather, do you want to ask Stacy that question right now? Heather, you might have your line muted, so I'm going to ask it for you. Heather said, can you give us an idea? Heather, you would push *6 to unmute. Can you give us an idea of what things to look for on labels to absolutely avoid, like your top five?
Yes, I think a good rule of thumb, there's a great resource actually that I'm going to have posted on my website. I haven't finished my post yet, but it'll be up in about an hour. It's by the David Suzuki Foundation, and they have the Dirty Dozen Cosmetic Chemicals to Avoid.
Okay, one minute. I'm sorry, you guys. I guess this isn't really. So for those of you who are just on the phone and not online, I'm so sorry, but I am going to go ahead and mute your lines just because we have a lot of background noise. And if those of you who are online, if you could chat in your questions, that would be fantastic. One moment here, and then I'm going to find Stacy and unmute her. One second.
The conference has been muted.
Okay, Stacy, you're unmuted. So if you wanted to just go ahead and repeat yourself, that would be great.
Sure. So the question was the top 5 or 10 chemicals to avoid. There's a great resource that I love that will be posted on my website later tonight, David Suzuki Foundation's The Dirty Dozen Cosmetic Chemicals to Avoid. So that's a great resource, and I'll name just a few of those. And if you see these chemicals ingredients, I think it's a pretty good sign that companies are not using, you know, the best and safest ingredients. So it actually quite reduces the choices that you have to make at the store. But things to look for include top number one synthetic fragrance. Usually contains phthalates, and companies are not telling us what's in it. So look for products that have no added fragrance. Parabens is another good marker chemical to look for. Those can act like estrogen in the body. Triclosan, antibacterial chemical, that's a terrible one. Never use it, sometimes in toothpaste. Sodium lauryl or laureth sulfate, PEG compounds, sodium myrrh sulfate, anything with that ETH is a problem because of the carcinogenic contaminants. Those are some very common, you'll find those commonly in products. Synthetic fragrance, parabens, triclosan, SLS, and, you know, again, if you see these chemicals, it's a pretty good indication that they're not making products as good as they can. Another one I want to just mention, polyethylene beads. Some companies are using tiny little plastic beads in face cream now that are a terrible pollutant in the oceans. And I wanted to give a shout out to Lori Allen. Johnson & Johnson did just commit that they're going to phase those out, but definitely avoid products with polyethylene. And there's no reason little tiny plastic balls should be in cosmetics.
Great, thank you. There's another.
Oh, I also, just because someone has mentioned this, and it is really important, it's good to note that unscented doesn't mean fragrance-free, and that's true. A lot of products have masking fragrances, which are essentially chemicals that are used to cover up the scent of other chemicals. So look for no added fragrance or for companies that are using essential oils.
Yes, good point to make. So I see this question from Susan, and Susan, you would actually email me this question too. Susan has written, why no mention of the fact that there is lead in all pigment, all lipsticks, and this all comes down to regulation? Did you see that question from Susan?
Yeah. Susan, hello. I know Susan's working very hard to make the best products possible, and lead is unfortunately a problem in the FDA study. They used a very sensitive detection method, and they did find lead in all the products they tested. It was widely varying ranges from like 0.02 parts per million all the way up to 7 parts per million. That's just magnitudes higher. So, you know, what we really take from that is that some companies are doing a much better job of sourcing clean ingredients and getting lead, if not out, then down to the most minuscule levels. And so what we're pushing FDA to do and companies to do is identify what are those best practices. The companies are actually pushing for FDA to set a high limit so that basically they can keep doing what they're doing and not have to make any changes. We're saying instead of trying to say, you know, what's an acceptable level of lead, because there is no acceptable level. Lead is something we know is toxic at the lowest, lowest doses. And it's a problem, unfortunately, because it was legal to use for so long in the United States in gas and paint, and now it is a ubiquitous contaminant. But if we look at, instead of looking at, you know, what's an acceptable level because there isn't any, let's look at what's the best that companies can achieve. What's the lowest levels they can possibly achieve, and share those best practices throughout the industry so that everybody can hit that target. That's what we're pushing for on lead and lipstick, and I think that's the goal all around. Like, instead of talking about how much toxic chemicals can we tolerate before we get sick, which is the current framework, you know, let's look at how we can make products as safe as possible. How can we shift to green chemistry? You know, chemistry that is benign from the get-go, from the start. And scientists know how to do that now. And so how can we get the whole industry investing in research and development towards safe green chemistry and making products that aren't harmful so we don't have to worry about the levels?
Yeah, that was, thank you, Stacey. That is a good answer to a very complicated question. I want to just mention here, Elisa's mentioned that she works as a stylist and so conflicted because I don't want to be using toxic chemicals on my clients. And that's interesting with salon products. They have a different regulation, and those ingredients aren't required to be listed on the label, so it can often be hard for stylists to find safer products. Often it involves calling a company, for example, so it takes some extra steps. And Elisa, I want to point you to another resource, and anybody else on the phone who may work in the beauty industry. Women's Voices for the Earth is also a co-founder and co-convener of the National Healthy Nail and Beauty Salon Alliance, and that is a group of advocates and policymakers and salon owners and salon workers working to protect the health of salon workers across the country. And that website is nailsalonalliance.org. And I would urge you to take a look at that and join the alliance as well.
Yeah, so important.
Yes, absolutely. So we had another good question that I think, Stacey, you could probably answer better than I could at this point, from Mimi, about how does a company get listed in EWG?
Yes. Well, EWG is updating their database about every year and a half, and there is a process on their website for adding products. It can be hard to get their attention because they're very busy, but, you know, they are doing these continual updates. And so check on their website to see how you can get your products in there. They do take products. The way they do their updates is they scour online sources and add, you know, in products that are listed online with the ingredients. So for smaller companies that don't have, first of all, I think everybody should have their ingredients listed online. I think that's really important to be transparent on websites. And so that's an important piece. And then contacting them to, you know, make sure they know about you, and they'll get you in the next update.
Awesome. And good follow-up question from B on the lead issue. Do companies list lead on the ingredients? Is there another name for it? How do you watch out for it?
Yeah, again, that's a tough one because lead is a contaminant. There are two huge loopholes in labeling law. Companies don't have to tell us about contaminants like lead or other heavy metals like formaldehyde or 1,4-dioxane because those are byproducts. So they're getting away with not disclosing a whole lot of toxins because of that loophole. The other big loophole is fragrances. They don't have to tell us about that because of trade secrets. So that's another area where we need to change the law for full disclosure. And there are on the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics website, we did a process. It was a 7-year-long project where we worked with companies on the Compact for Safe Cosmetics, required them to get into Skin Deep to fully disclose all their chemicals, even fragrances, and hundreds of companies were able to meet that criteria. And then we did close it. So there are many more good companies beside the 300 champions on our list, but it's a good source for getting many, many good ideas for good companies, and you can find that at safecosmetics.org/companies.
Great. This is a good question from Lauren. Should we boycott celebrities on big brand ads like L'Oreal?
Oh, I love that idea. I don't know how you boycott celebrities, but it is really, and somebody else made a comment, too, that it's how bothersome it is that these big celebrities are hawking products that, A, they probably don't use, and B, are toxic, and so many of them are doing it. In fact, we looked at celebrity perfumes, and some of the worst, two of the worst we found were Halle Berry and J-Lo's Glow. They had the most hormone-disrupting chemicals. I think you should definitely do what you can to let those celebrities know that we don't appreciate that, that they could be playing a really powerful role as spokespeople for safe cosmetics, and that we are counting on them to do that. But we don't need them to do that, of course. Really what we need is ourselves making those choices every day at the store to not fall into the, you know, the dream of the celebrities and the ads and all of the messages that the beauty industry is trying to sell us, and instead, you know, take our power to support companies that we trust and feel good about.
Great. Well, it looks like there are significantly fewer people on the web now to chat in questions. And just because we're at the end and because I like a little chaos, just go ahead and unmute all of your lines. If you would like to mute yourself, if you know you have background noise, go ahead and push *6. But we do have a couple more minutes for questions, and I really value these calls because it means you all get to actually speak with each other. So here we go.
The conference has been unmuted.
I have a question about sunscreen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Stacey?
Yeah.
I've done a lot of research, and I appreciate everything that you've done, and it seems that the big thing now is to have products with the zinc and titanium dioxide. But there's one company, Eminence, who usually has really pure products. They just came out with a moisturizer that has zinc with oxygenate. And so I'm wondering now if that's been more of an approved ingredient or what is the best for sunscreen.
I don't know about that particular ingredient. The best for sunscreen definitely is zinc oxide and also titanium dioxide. But we are concerned about it if it's nanoparticle titanium dioxide, which they don't have to indicate. I think there are some concerns about that, some questions. And some companies are wanting to do that because the full molecules is why those products are sometimes so thick, right? They go on white with the zinc oxide. But I think sunscreens have gotten a lot better. It's such an important product, and I'm glad that you brought this up because it's something that you really have to look into, how to find not only safe sunscreen but effective sunscreen, because so many products out there do not actually provide the skin protection that they promise. And so EWG does a great report every year. EWG.org/skindeep is the website for both the safety database, and then you can find the info about sunscreens there. They analyze sunscreens and recommend the best. And so the ones at the top of that list, and companies like Badger, and there are lots of ones that are scoring well these days, and they tend to have zinc oxide. And I think they also really work well, too.
Okay, well, I'm listening.
So if you are asking a question, go ahead and unmute your line because we can hear your conversations, which might be a little embarrassing for you. So, Stacey, do you have time for one or two more questions?
Sure.
I have a question. What number, what are the safe numbers? I see they're numbered 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to 7 or more. What are the safe numbers?
Okay, good question. So it's 0 to 10, with 10 being the most toxic. So the best ones are 0s, 1s, and 2s with the green circles.
Okay.
And then it goes up from there. And then there's a yellow range, which is like, oh, could be better. And then the reds, yeah, you want to stay away from.
Thank you.
One more question out there.
Stacey, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. Thank you, first of all, for all the wonderful work you've been doing, and thank you, Women's Voices, as well. How come you haven't done marketing campaigns against L'Oreal, against Johnson & Johnson? I feel like I'm on a one-woman crusade with my friends trying to educate them. And every time I talk to my friends, they are completely unaware what these companies are doing, Avon, Revlon, you know, all these companies. And I'm wondering why, I mean, obviously your organization is doing incredible work, but I just wonder why we're not more aggressively marketing against them to get the word out, all of the egregious, you know, atrocities these companies are doing against women. I'm so frustrated, you know, that more of my friends on both coasts of the country and in the middle of the country just don't know what's going on.
Yeah, well, thank you for that, because I ask myself the same thing, too. How can we reach more people? You know, we have gone after the companies. We did do the big campaign on Johnson & Johnson that got them to make those big public commitments.
Yes.
We've gone after L'Oreal on the lipstick. They have ignored us. We went after the nail polish industry, and we did get significant changes in nail polish. So we have done company targets. I think that the cosmetics campaign could definitely do more of that.
Okay.
And I think things are really moving now toward just having a lot more space and power to do that with fun online campaigns and provocative campaigns. You know, I do a lot of work now in the food industry and trying to get rid of genetically engineered foods and get them labeled. And the food companies are really responding to online campaigns and getting really nervous about the incredible passion coming from online organizing. And I think that companies are paying much more attention. I heard recently that Nestle has a whole department of people, you know, monitoring online to see if they're getting targeted and trying to have fast response. So I think it's an important outlet, and that there could be more that does call out specific brands. But also, you know, the story of cosmetics is a great tool for your friends if they haven't seen it. Definitely send it to them. You can also, you know, buy them my book. Another thing I like to do is buy, you know, always thinking what to get our friends at Christmas or for birthdays and run out of ideas. Buy them safe products that you love. And just, you know, in that way, become an advocate to get these products into their lives and the information in front of them.
Yes, I do. I actually used to work for Procter & Gamble, by the way. I used to work for the evil empire, so I cannot
They are.
To this. Yeah.
Yeah, how do you change Procter & Gamble? I mean, I'd love to figure that out with you.
We can have that conversation if ever you would like. I worked for them in the 80s, so it was before that I was even, you know, became aware myself of what was going on. But, yes, I just find it so frustrating because, you know, what does it take to change these companies? You know, what is it going to take?
Well, maybe if I could add on to Steve's answer as well, just very quickly here before we all hop off, is that, I mean, as you well know, we are up against multi-million, multi-billion dollar global corporations here. And I will be very candid with all of you that Women's Voices for the Earth does a whole hell of a lot on under a $500,000 budget. And so if you, you know, ask each of your friends to give $5 to Women's Voices or the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics, I can't even tell you how much we would do with that $5. It would go such a long way. So that is another piece that I would say is huge for us.
That's great. I would be happy to help spread the word. That's something I haven't spread, so that I'm happy that you put that idea in my head.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Because it's such a critical time, and I think the work that environmental groups are doing is so important. And there are many ways to plug in and get involved. Donating is certainly one of the most important. Use our resources. And, you know, if anyone has good inside information into companies, please definitely contact me on Twitter at Safe Cosmetics, or you could also email me, Stacey, S-T-A-C-Y, at safecosmetics.org.
Okay.
Great. Well, I want to be really conscious of all your time since I know we already went over. If any of you have questions you didn't get to ask, you see Stacey's Twitter handle there, her blog. You all have my email because I've been emailing you nonstop about this webinar. And our doors are always open. I mean, as I said, I value these calls because it means I actually get to talk with you, and that's one of the best parts of what we do. So please let us hear from you and what your concerns are and what you would like us to work on, where you want to plug in. So thank you all so much for taking an hour out of your evening to join us. And Stacey Malkin, thank you so, so much for all of your work and everything that you're doing.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Good night, everybody.
Would it be possible to get the slide?
To get what?
Slides.
So I recorded this, the audio portion, and the slides will also be available, sounds like on that pretty face, as well as our website. And everybody who RSVP'd will get the link for all of that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.